Amen. So glad that you attend the night services tonight again. Amen. Old time camp meeting night. Amen. I think that's the way it can be in every service we have around the Church of the Living God. Amen. I believe we need to get in church and just let our hair down, get rid of that formalism, them old menus that we use that they grease you with at the door. They need to be thrown in the garbage can. Pray that the Holy Spirit will come in the church there and let God have his way. And I'll guarantee you, you could be camp meeting all over the country if we just rear back and just say, God, it's yours. It's your church. You suffered. You died for it. And you get left some men here to be able to preach the gospel, amen. And so I think it ought to be camp meeting in every service, amen. This is Brother Johnny, brother better known as Johnny the Baptist, amen. And so we want to welcome you here to this camp meeting. This here is the third night, amen. Now we got a new preacher for tonight, amen. I don't say speaker, amen. Speaking is for politicians and crooks, but preaching is for preachers, amen, amen. So we got Brother Billy Kelly here. He's going to preach to you here just a few minutes on the best is yet to come. And my friend, if you're saved by the grace of God, you might have been going through trials and tribulation, but I want you to know, just on up the road just a little ways, the best is yet to come. Amen. And so we done heard that great message by Brother Mays on Will Your Roses Bloom Again, and then we heard Brother Mays preaching on the prodigal son. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Amen. And now tonight, not only I think we'll not only gonna have Brother Billy come around and be able to preach to us, but I think it would be appropriate for him to come around and sing as he holds to my hand. Amen. And so I hope that you'll sit back, join in the singing, enjoy this call of the folks, and tell them that the camp meeting hour is on, and we're just ready to shout and praise God, and we'll get ready for our preacher for tomorrow night. Amen. And then at the end of the week here, we're going to have a mystery preacher be able to come around and preach to us. And any way that Brother Johnny could ever be a help and a source of encouragement and a blessing to you, amen, you just let us know. Amen. We come to your church, I want you to know we believe in camp meeting and every service. Amen. So God bless you now as we hear Brother Billy Kelly sing the Lord as he holds to my hand. May God bless you now.
When I tremble, I last I'll hear the call will be coming for me. I'll enter the lifeboat that will be there to carry me over the sea. He'll hold to my hand. Oh.
Amen. I like to strip the gear hearing Brother Billy sing that. Amen. As he holds to my hand. Amen. And now we get ready for the preaching of the gospel. I imagine, boy, you could join in with us and hear the saints of God a shouting and a praising God. My friend, I got news for you. You don't have to go down to church house and do it. You can do it right there in your kitchen, in your living room, on your job, down at the schoolhouse. Amen. Bless God. You can just have a spell anywhere where the power of God is and the Lord leads you. Amen. And so now we got the man of God going to preach the message on the best is yet to come. May God bless you now.
Tonight, in John's Gospel chapter 2, here the Lord Jesus Christ is attending a marriage supper. Now, marriage is honorable in the sight of God. I know the Word of God teaches and says this, that in the last days there'll be folks forbidding others to marry. And strange things are happening in this hour. Why, there's people, my friends, men marrying men, women marrying women, and even some of the states are considering passing laws to where that the people of the same sex can marry. And that's one of the most ungodly things that I've ever heard of. And they're trying to do away with the marriage vows and say that there's nothing to it. And this dirty bunch of crooks and prostitutes and whoremongers and this crowd out of Hollywood has, my friends, torn down seemingly the homes across this land. Many people say, just live with someone for a little while. And if you don't like them, swap a 40 model off the 220s and try that for a while. But neighbor, listen, God is not pleased with that. I believe that the divine will of God Almighty was for a man to marry and to stay that way. Amen. To death parts. Why, they came to the Lord Jesus Christ and they said to him, Moses gave us a writing of divorcement. And Jesus said, well, it was because of the hardening of your heart. But notice what he said. It was not so from the beginning. I believe marriage is honorable in the sight of God. The Lord Jesus is attending the marriage supper. And all of a sudden they come in and they say to it, they're out of wine. And the Bible tells how that Jesus commanded that they take the water pots and fill them up to the brim with water. And the Bible said, as they did so, the Son of God performs the first miracle that he ever performed as he begins his public ministry. And that miracle is this. He, my friends, turned the water into wine. Now, what old drunk said one time, is it okay to drink wine? Jesus made it. Now, I said, if you make it like Jesus made it, out of plain water, help yourself. Amen. Don't you use any muscadines or blackberries or something like that. Neighbor, I believe you make it like Jesus did. Praise God, the infernal revenue will let you buy. Don't you believe that? Yes, sir. And so, the Son of God performs a miracle. Now, there's nothing that'll save your heart anymore as you read the Bible about the miracles of the miracle-working Son of God. I'll tell you, my heart's thrilled every time I begin to read those miracles. Why, somebody said, I've heard them over and over. Yeah, but they never grow old to me. They're never stale to me. Praise God. When I read about the Lamb of God walking down the way one day, and two old blind boys are sitting there, and they've never seen mother, they've never seen dad, they couldn't see the flowers that they was able to smell, they couldn't see the food that they is able to taste from all the penny. Listen, they heard about Jesus passing by. Amen. And they cried out and they said, "Thou Son of God, have mercy upon us." From all the penny, Jesus didn't pass them by. And there's never been a hailed sinner that ever called upon him. Thank God that he ever did pass by. I want to tell you, neighbor, listen, he went over there and glory to God, he touched their eyes. And when he touched their eyes, even though they've never seen mother, and they've never seen dad. Think about it. The face of the first one that they ever laid their eyes upon was the face of God's darling baby boy. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, the Alpha, the Omega, the Passover, the Paschal Lamb. I want to tell you, they laid their eyes upon the one that old Zechariah said to bring. And Daniel said he's the stone that hewed out of the mountains without hands. Isaiah said he's the root out of a dry path and a tender place. Hallelujah. Here is the Passover, the Paschal Lamb. I'll tell you, the mediator. And they laid their eyes upon him. I like to read about those miracles that's recorded in the blessed Word of God. I like to read how they took a few loaves of bread and a few fish and fed a multitude. I like to read about them. Amen. But let me haste along tonight with all the miracles that I've ever read about in the blessed word of God. There's none of them that ever fills my soul like God loving a hell-bent sinner and saving a sinner. Brother, that's the biggest miracle of all. Amen. How that God could save a hell-bent sinner. Some years ago, I like to go to auctions. I like to hear those auctioneers. You ever go? How many of you ever go to an auction sale? I like to hear those auctioneers. Hey. $5, and boy, they're gone, huh? I like to go to them. And I tell you, I read a little poem one time that thrilled my heart. The old auctioneer stood before the crowd, and he had an old violin. Now, I'm a fiddle player. That's what I like to play. I'm really a fiddle player. And that old auctioneer stood there with an old violin. He said, "How much is it worth?" One man said, "Why, that old thing's not worth much. I'd give a dollar." Another one said two. One said three. One four. And he's about to sell this old violin that looks so useless for just maybe $4 or $5. They said about the time the auctioneer began to say, "Going once, going twice." All of a sudden, now the crowd stepped an old white-haired gentleman. He said, "Wait a minute! Don't sell that valuable instrument for such a meager fare. Let me see it." He took the old violin out. The strings were loose. He began to tune those things. He tuned that little E string, and then the A string, the D string, the G string. Then he reached into that old violin case, and he got out the bow, and he tightened the hair. He began to roll that bow up real good. And then the old fella placed that violin under his chin and began to draw that bow across the strings. As he did so, people had never heard music like that. While one man jumped up and said, "I'd give $1,000 for that thing." Another one said two, one three. One man weeping said, "I'd give four, one five." The auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice." Sold to that man for $5,000. Now, what made the difference? Well, you've read the poem, no doubt, but here's the difference. You see, the old auctioneer, or rather the old white-haired gentleman, was the master, and he knew what to do with a worthless instrument. Man, when I read that one day, I got on cloud nine. Amen. I'll tell you, I saw the old devil, and that old buzzard was the auctioneer, and he had me on the block. And the devil said, "How much is he worth?" Why, somebody said, "He's not worth much. His old daddy's crooked, and he comes from a rotten outfit." The devil said, "He's not worth much." But brother, listen, it looks like I'm about gone. I'm gone once. I'm going twice. But hallelujah, about that time, out of the crowd steps the master. Amen. And I want to tell you, made a tight pop. He put me just like I was. Out of tune. I'll tell you, damned and doomed and blinded. That's an eternity in hell. He began to tune the strings of my heart. The little E string, the A string, the B string, the G string. And then he reached into the box of eternity and got out the bull face and roused it up with a blazing grace. Hallelujah! And began to draw it across the strings of my soul until every string began to vibrate with a sweet string of Israel. Thank God it wasn't long till I came out saying, "Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God." I like to read about the miracles of a miracle-working Son of God. I want you to look, my friends, tonight, listen, as we go further this text tonight, notice as Jesus performs this miracle. My brother, listen, we notice here something that I want to bring to your heart tonight. Notice that the ruler of the feast said, "Good." He said, "Every man at the beginning just set forth his best wine, but he gives his worst life." Now, I don't care for tonight that gives good things now, but the worst is yet to come, huh? That's right. You take the devil tonight, he's doing everything he can to get his best now. Actually, he's detailing you to drink old crow, but he don't tell you to puke like an old buzzard. See? He gets you out here, he gets you all boozed up on Saturday night, but he won't tell you, my friends, that Sunday morning your old head will be swollen up. The devil said, "Live it up, have yourself a big time." The devil's too soon. He doesn't inform you that, my friends, there's more people die of cirrhosis of the liver than there are folks with lung cancer from smoking cigarettes. The devil doesn't inform you that, my friends, tonight you may be a man of distinction, but tomorrow you can be a man of extinction. He doesn't tell you that. Why, the devil's too slow. You know what he does? He goes out here on a billboard. He puts the picture of a beautiful woman up there. I mean, a beautiful co-ed. In her hand is a little bottle of alcoholic beverages or a little glass. Maybe some Budweiser. Of course, Bud, you'll be a lot wiser if you don't fool with it. Amen? Yes, sir. And the devil said, this is the fashionable, and this is the sociable fashionable. That's what the devil said. And I want to tell you, my friend, you put the picture of a new woman. Why don't you put some old hag up there with her hair down all over her face? And looks like she's been laying in an alley for about 10 days. Why doesn't the devil do that? He's too shrewd for that, you see. Yes, sir. He wants you, my friend, to have a big time now. But God said that the end of that thing is terrible. And it's going to be turned into hell forever. Is that what the book said? Say amen. Now don't sit there looking at me like a female billy goat, bless God. You'll get me the amen in myself. Amen. Now listen, my friends, tonight, how when we come into the blessed word of God, how would you know that the devil's true? He never tells a young man or young woman out here on the back road somewhere that if they indulge in illicit sin, I'll tell you, my friends, that an illegitimate child may be born, their life may be ruined. I'll tell you, remember, to that dirty, filthy act will follow them to their grave. The devil doesn't do that. No, sir. He just said, have you step a time. Live it up. And that's the reason he's got this world sex crazy. Do you know that? Why, they can't even sell home feed anymore without putting a naked woman's picture on the bag. I'm telling it right. They gotta put some semi-new woman or some old naked heifer's picture on about everything they sell this day and time. Am I telling it right? And some of you mothers and dads let your little daughters get out and run around half naked with not enough clothes on to make a pair of breeches for a blue jay. And breath some let a bunch of old pop belly juvenile nose thugs stand back and their eyeballs pound the legs of your daughters. And you let them die and go to hell because you won't make them live right. Amen. I'll tell you right now, every blessed God, we look here at the word of God tonight. The devil's food can live it up. Have yourself a big time. Boy, there's a lot of folks do that. I was in the service the other day. There's a woman had so much paint on her face. If you had kissed her, you'd have got the painter's colic. She looked like a clown out of Barlow Bailey Circus to me. Well, God, she had so much paint on. She really marred her beauty. Bless God, she looked plumb ugly to me. She made a freight train took a dirt road. Amen. Listen, brother, I'll tell you tonight. You come to the blessed word of God, the devil's shrewd. He's wise. And he doesn't show you the terrible end of the thing. He said, just live it up and have yourself a big time. Now, he's smart. He's smart never. Yes, sir, you got folks religious tonight. There's a lot of folks that are religious, never what? Man, they join the gooses, the mooses, the hoot owls. I've got the fish camp for the night and tell them down below where I live, and in come a bunch of fellas. If I'd have worn outfit like that out, bless God, they'd have thought I was an organ grinder, left my monkey at the house. Had a little old hatter sitting on top of their head. Said he jazz. I never have seen none of them with she jazz on it, but anyhow, that he jazz. I never come and listen. If I'd have come a walking in there with a garb on like that, they'd thought I was a cookie just come out of the kitchen. Is that foul? Yep, devil got. Yes, you know what I'm trying to say? Devil's got folks religious this damn time. If you think I'm telling you something, you just cross that crowd path. One fellow said to me, he said, you ought to join the Masons and go through the York right and said, you'll see Jesus. I said, fella, I'm ahead of you. I went to Calvary. Amen. One guy said, I'm an odd fella. I said, I'll agree you not as odd as I ever met. Religious. That means people join the 144,000 and want to get religious. Go to Rome. Kiss the Pope's big toe. Confess the sins through a knot hole, the Latin speaking, robe wearing, bean counting priest.
You call Father and he ain't even married and dresses like Mama on top of it. Yeah. Some of you heard me tell this, maybe, when I was in the army, there's no one there as a Christian scientist. I soon found out he was neither a Christian nor a scientist. He wasn't neither one of them. He said there's no such thing as pain. Now, I might look like I come to town with a load of pumpkins, honey, but I didn't. Amen. Don't tell me, bless God, there's no such thing as pain. You ever hit your father with a hammer? The first and the only dancing that I've ever done since I've been saved was when that happened. Then a fella's on top of a barn, and he is left-handed. And he looks like a windmill running backwards or driving nails on top of that barn. I never seen it. He said, hit the nail. I said, that's just what I done. My thumbnail. Now, I was with this guy in the army, and you know how it is. In the course of 2 years, you got to take a shower, too, somewhere along the way. And army style, this guy was in a big shower, just a lot of shower, and I had to go through his to get into mine. I had the toothache. He said, fall in your head. Made me about half mad. I said, did you ever hear the toothache anywhere else? Bless God, who ever heard the toothache in the heel? Who ever heard the toothache in the ankle? He said, it's all in your head. I got into that shower and he had the cold water on. I said, whoop, I don't know. He said, it's all in your head. Now look here. I kill hogs about every year. I got five right there ready to kill. But you know what? When you kill an old hog, you put him in scalding water, and I don't care how dead he is, every hair on him comes off. Hot water's hot water. I told him, I said, you turn that cold water off and turn that other faucet on. He'd have found out, bless God, it wasn't in his head, amen? Next time you find one of these birds that said that it's all in his head, no such thing to pain, you catch him with his back turned, you shoot straight to him and find out what it means. Now, this devil's got folks religious. Everybody's religious this day. I quit asking people, are you a Christian? Everybody's a Christian. Well, if you think I'm lying, just ask them. Said, yes, that boss, I sure is. I love the Lord. And they got these sorry whites just about as bad off of telling lies. I tell you something. Next time you ask them, say, ask them, say, are you born again? And he said, yes. Hey, tell me about it. Boy, that'll make some of them swallow their Brown's meal. Yeah. Just get them to tell you about it. Bless God, they'll swallow their boots and all the rest of it. I'll tell you that right now. Now, listen, the devil is his best now, but the worst is yet to come. Now, then, that brings me down to my message tonight. I want to bring you a message, my friends, about one that gives good things now, but thank God, better things are yet to come. You say, who is that? That's the precious Lord. Amen. As you're looking at the blessed word of God tonight, now I'm going to hasten along now. I want you to note, my friends, that in creation, God kept the best until life. Amen. As you read in the Bible, I want to tell you one morning, my heavenly Father walked out on the edge of nothing and flung into space everything you see and the things you can't see. He didn't need rocks to make mountains. He didn't need dirt, my friends, to make this earth. But he took nothing and made everything. I want to tell you, he made the mud seals of this old earth. He put out every silver stream. I tell you, he planted every fire garden. He studded this earth with the green trees. And then I'll tell you, my friends, stood back and said, I like what I made. Amen. Yes, he did. But the crowning act of God was when he took up the dust from the ground and made a man and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life and became a living soul. Now, God made man in his own image. Amen. And that's the reason tonight you're going to live forever. You say, I'm not going to live with God forever. You're going to live forever. You may not live with God forever. You live in hell forever. You can mark that down. You will never die. Man is created in the image of God and will never die. You'll either live in that land that's fair today. You'll either live with God forever. You shout the victory forever. Or you go to hell forever. One or the other. You certainly will. And so we find tonight, my friends, that in creation, God kept the best until last. Now, God, I never heard where God sent his only begotten Son to die, that a horse could be born again, or where a cow could be born again, or where an old pig could get saved. But I'll tell you what I did read. I read where God loved the poor old sinner so good. Amen. That God said he was willing to give the best that heaven had. Now, I want to tell you, he didn't send some angel that's been on hay thrashing, living in a back alley with a rusty halo and a moth-eaten robe. They asked God, he sent the best that heaven had, which was his only begotten Son, to die for the remission of sin. So in creation, God kept the best until life. In Revelation, God kept the best until life. These Old Testament saints, they understand everything you and I know. While we sit here and we rejoice and shout and praise God about the truth and God's eternal word, they understand everything you and I know tonight. But I'll tell you, by faith, they accepted what God told them, and God begins to reveal it to them. Now, let me give you just a few things. Brother Kanoi mentioned this somewhat in his message this morning. God acted out the plan of salvation, the Garden of Eden. He certainly did. It wasn't man that was looking for God. God was looking for man. I hear a lot of folks get up, and I'm not trying to pick no fuss with nobody tonight. But let me hit you. You use this terminology, when I found the Lord, why don't you put that out? He wasn't lost. He was a burden that's lost, and he found Jesus. Amen. I mean, God's never been lost. God, you're the one that's lost. And God went looking for you. It's God that looks for sinners in the Old Testament, and it's God that looks for sinners in the New Testament. Amen. It said of Jesus that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. God went looking for Adam and Eve. God went out in the field, and the Bible tells how that God took an innocent beast and he threw it. And I want to tell you, made a covering for Adam and Eve. I want to tell you, my friends, is God made a coat for Adam and a coat for Eve. He made a covering. That's a beautiful picture of what happened thousands of years later at Calvary's cross. Like the innocent beast in the field that never committed one sin. I'll tell you, God's darling son that had never committed a sin. I'll tell you, was stripped of everything that you and I could have a covering. Amen. And God, my friend, 65, we can be saved by the grace of God. Now, God's opened these things up, and he's shown forth. All right, so you begin to look forth in the Scriptures. Watch God as he reveals the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation. Here's old Adam. Noah. Noah's fixing to get in that ship. That thing's a certain length. It's a certain height. It had three floors, which tells us of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It didn't have but one door. Amen. Which tells of the Son. There's not but one way in. The Bible said you couldn't tell the front end of the ship from the back end. That's everlasting life. This salvation that you and I have doesn't have but one end to it. And that's the beginning end. Amen. And it goes on forever and forever and forever. And on 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 and on. And on and on and on and forever and forever and forever and forever. Now God chose this. We find that it was God shut the door. And I'll tell you, my friends, it'll leave God that'll seal you in. The Bible said that old ark was pitched in and pitched it out, which is telling the Holy Ghost of God that you and I are sealed until the day of redemption. God chose forth this. Then we come on, we see the tabernacle in the wilderness and all of that tells about Jesus Christ. Then we find that Abraham is a type of God the Father. Isaac's a type of the Son. Eliezer is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. And Rebekah's a type of the church. One day Abraham said to Eliezer, the elder servant, I want you to go get a wife for my son Isaac. And the Bible said he packed up the camels. These are the kind you ride, not the kind you carry. These are the kind that had a hoof on them and not the kind that puts a hoof on you. Are y'all listening? Some of you are looking sleepy by now. What am I going to? Now listen, but I will tell you one thing right now. We look in the blessed word of God. Old Abraham said, Eliezer, go get me a bride for my son Isaac. So he gets the camels, and he takes all of the beautiful bracelets and diamonds and all the wonderful jewelry and the good smelling perfumes and the good food and the goodies, and he goes in to a far country to woo out a bride for Isaac. He puts out a fleece, the girl that draws water for me and for my camels. That'll be the cow that I'll invite to go and marry my master's son. Here comes a beautiful little girl with the name of Rebecca. She draws water for Eliezer and his camels. He said, would you go marry my master's son? Said, I sure would. Now, you better look through that for a moment. I mean, she never seen the guy. I never had but one blind date in my life, and I wish I was blind and got there. Man, listen, I'll tell you right now, you can have them, brother. Yeah, I don't know who I'm going with. You say, you're not Mr. America. That may be all right. That didn't keep me wanting to marry Miss America. Amen. I'll tell you right now, listen, brother, I want to know who I'm going with. I certainly did. And so, this girl said, I'll marry. Now, there's one of three things sold, you listen. She was hankering to get married. It was leap year, or God was in it. And I'm convinced the Lord was in it. And you know the story. This is showing forth, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph was the beloved of the father. Jacob had a lot of sons, but he had one beloved. Amen. We found that old Joseph was placed in the pit of death. He went away to a far country. While he's in that far country, he took a Gentile bride and became the breadwinner for his brethren that was back at home. Do you see that? God has a lot of sons. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. The Bible said he came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But God never had but one only begotten son, and that's Jesus. And Jesus, my friends, came. His brethren cast him into the pit of death. He went away to a far country. Where? To heaven. What's he doing? He's taking a Gentile bride, just like Joseph took a Gentile bride. And thank God, he's the breadwinner for his brethren back here. He said, I am the bread of life. You eat of this bread that I am, and you'll never hunger again. And so we find in Revelation, God's showing forth. Oh, my, watch this. One morning, old Gabriel, with an angelic choir dispatched from heaven, stepped out on the Judean hills, and old Gabriel said, sing it on the downbeat. On the downbeat, they got to singing. Unto you's born a Savior, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. My soul, the old devil's up yonder at Herod's house, and he took a running fit. He said, you better do something. There's been a king born, and he's going to take your place. So they called out the National Guard and the Federal troops. And they went looking for him. But I want to tell you, bless God, the Bible said, when they came there in that little city, my friends of Bethlehem, there was a dirty, nasty, filthy, stinking cow stall, was God's darling son, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And the Bible said, they fell out and they worshiped him, and went out of town in another direction. You ever seem just right? You won't go back the way you come in. Amen. And so, God kept the best until last. And then notice this, in the life of the Lord Jesus, God kept the best until last. When Jesus came to this world, he's despised. They said, we'll not have this man to rule or reign over us. The Bible said there's no room for him at the inn. The Bible reports, my friends, where that God's son was born in that cow stall. There was no room for him. He was hated and despised even at the onset. The devil saw to that. Why, that's the reason the devil tried to get him killed before his time. Do you remember reading the Word of God where Jesus was often, or all I start to say repeatedly, and that's about what he did. He's often saying, my hour is not come. It's not time for the Son of Man to be offered up. Now listen, Jesus was born in God's time. In the fullness of time, when the hour was ripe, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. Amen. I want to tell you something. He lived as long as God wanted him to live. I saw where one Bible professor made a statement in a Sunday school quarterly, and he said it makes no difference how long Jesus is in the tomb. Well, it does make a difference. Amen. Yes, sir. If he just stayed there 2 days and got up, that ain't him. If he stayed 6 or 8 days and got up, that's not him. But he said, as Jonah was in the whale's belly for 3 days and 3 nights, so shall shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights? And he said, you destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Did he say it? And so it makes a difference. Well, I want to tell you right now, listen, my friend, as we look here, the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God, as he came to this world, even though he was despised and hated, God kept the best for him. Well, everywhere he went, he was a poor man, as far as human estimates were concerned. Amen. Born in a barred stall. Every time he went preaching, he rode in a barred boat, rode into Jerusalem on the back of a barred colt, was crucified on a barred cross, and buried in a barred tomb. I'd say he's a poor man, as far as human estimates were concerned. Huh? Brother, listen. I want to tell you right now, listen. God's kept the best in the life of Christ. Oh, amen. You know why? Listen, the first time he came alone. But the next time, he'll come with 10,000 of his saints. The first time, I'll tell you, they crowned him with a crown of thorns. The next time, they'll crown him with honor and glory. The first time, he went and came to a dirty cowshed. The next time, he'll come to the throne of David. Ah! Oh, glory! The first time he came, he rode on the back of a barn colt. Since then, he's been horse trading. He'll be riding the one standing the next time. Amen! I want to tell you, my friends, God has kept the best until life. Glory! I was reading over there in the Revelation in the 19th chapter. Woo! Amen! Hallelujah! Let me read that. Lord, I got the Lamb forever. And after these things, I heard a great voice. Did you hear that? A great voice of much people in heaven. Hallelujah! Salvation! And power! And glory! And power! Under the Lord our God! I don't want that dust you, that turns wheels over me. For true and righteous are his judgment. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth of their fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants in her hands, and they said, hallelujah! God, I want to put somebody out of business doing something like that. And I'll tell you right now, you know what? The newspaper, somebody told me here this morning, they read it in black and white. The roll on up, amen to God, and prayed every demon a hell mile, and all the God haters, the Christ rejectors, and all this crowd that cussed on time religion and didn't believe in God and the church, and God put a show full of him praise. Amen. And I believe while he's been doing it, old Gabriel and old Michael are full of their wings and pull off their crowns and shake their heads and say, my, it must be wonderful to be a poor sinner saved by the grace of God. Oh! Hallelujah. Bless God, you think about that. You need to thank God's going to leave me to take out of the life of Christ. Amen. I'm going to leave one thing out, not one thing. And now, can you listen, brother? They may cuss him here. They may despise him here. But the day will come when an angel will stand with one foot upon the land and one on the sea and raise his hand and swear that time shall be no more. And we're going to live forever and forever. And then listen to this. In the Christian experience, God keeps the best until life. Hallelujah. I'll never forget that night when I staggered into the University of Tennessee auditorium. One fell on one side and one on the other, and me so drunk I couldn't walk. Loop-legged, drunk, vomited, tore my clothes, I'd wallowed my own vomit, laid in the old pool hall on Gay Street in Knoxville. It was sick about 12 o'clock that day. And I didn't know it, but a big meeting was going on. Oh, I'm glad that God cares for sinners. I'm glad to see somebody that loves poor sinners. And oh, I want to tell you what's the truth. They carried me to that place that night. That big auditorium would seat 5,000 people. They took me up in the balcony. I don't know what they sung. Had a big choir, 500 people in the choir. I don't know what the man preached about. I was drunk and I got up there and it's hot and I went to sleep. But when the invitation started,
that 500 voice choir stood and they begin to sing, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come in your heart. I'd tried everything in the world. Oh, Lord. I was talking to Brother Burns the other day. We went bear hunting. I said, you know, there's some things that's happening. I don't even like to think about it. I've done things so low down, I don't even want to think about it. I could put them a million miles from my thoughts if I possibly could. But there are times when those things come up, of things that I've done. And, oh, I stood there wicked and vile. And, oh, I want to tell you that night, friend, when I stood there, bless God, and that choir began to sing another verse. Are there any rivers that seem to be uncrossable? Are there any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things that seem impossible, and He work a miracle for you. And then they changed again, and they started saying, oh, don't go away without Jesus. They're almost done. They're about through. They're fixing to quit. Well, an old boy that played tackle on the football team put his arm around me. He said, Red, where would you go if you stood out tonight? I said, I'd go to hell. He said, you don't have to go. I said, turn to God. Turn to God. Take a step for God. Listen, I've been preaching for these many years, and I've never told anybody yet to stick their foot out. But that boy said, stick your foot out. And I stuck my left foot out. But I want to tell you, my right was a-falling. Out of there I came, down that aisle. That aisle seemed like it was a quarter of a mile long. I slid into that altar. They didn't have to get somebody down there to tell me to repeat this. They didn't have to get nobody down there and say, now you do this and do that. Brother, listen, I wasn't interested in nobody else. All I was interested in was my sin sick soul. I was a praying, oh God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for this and I'm sorry for that. God, I'm sorry for this. And I stayed there, they said, about an hour and a half. Now, I'm not telling anybody you ought to stay there an hour and a half, but I'll tell you how long you better stay. You better stay till the work's done, amen. I stayed there for about an hour and a half. And I felt like, listen to this, I felt like Jesus was sitting on a throne right above my head. Yeah. Felt like He's about 10 to 15 foot right above my head on a throne. And I slowed down, I couldn't even look up. I couldn't have even stayed there confessing sin after sin. And finally I said, here it goes, I'm going to give it a try. Now I had to look up, I slowed down, I couldn't face Him. I said, but here it goes. I leaned back on my haunches and I looked up. And I said, Lord, if you say me, save me. If you can use me, use me. And about that time, there's a dose of salvation came in from a Lamb that's crying the name. I come, and I got born again. Amen. All ugly people looks good when you get saved. That's God, you love your mother-in-law when you get saved. I came out of that old building that night. It seemed like the stars came out on Best Parade. Seemed like the trees as they're clapping their hands. Something to me like all the cherubims and all that crowd in heaven was a-singing hallelujah. Another soul would have to die and go to hell. I got to the house. My mother and my two sisters had gone to the Moose Club to dance. When they came in, they'd had their social drinks and all that. Mama looked at me big-eyed as she got to the door and said, what in the world's wrong? I said, not a thing. It's all right now. Mama said, you're drunk. I said, I have been, but I'm not now. I said, I got saved tonight. My two sisters said, he's drunk. That's that old liquor. He's drunk. And they finally fussed at me, so I went to the back room, got a little three-quarter size bed. I wasn't a big fella then. I got an old bed, but who could go to sleep when you just step from the bottom to the top? Who could go to sleep when God had just put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Who could go to sleep when God had just become your Father and Jesus your Savior and the Holy Spirit your Comforter, the New Jerusalem the city and heaven the country, and God had put all over you, no layovers allowed, New Jerusalem bound, our mail special, amen. Yes, God, listen. I got up the next morning. I went in Mother's room. She was laying with her face toward the wall. I laid my hand on her shoulder. She said, what you want, son? I said, Mama, how about pressing my suit for me? I just had one little old blue suit. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to church. Mother flung over the bed, looked up and said, son, do you mean what you said last night? I said, Mom, I never meant nothing more in my life. I said, I'm saved this morning. Oh, God. I took off down to the little old church. Amen, Willie. Bless God, I took off to a little old church. No, I wasn't on a little old church. I had 1,600 in Sunday school. Mama said, what church are you going to? I said, that big one down the street here. They never have to come see me. I think I'll go see them. I don't. It wouldn't have been so bad if I'd walked in kindly dressed up, but I walked in with that Bible on the arm. They knew business done picked up somewhere. I had the family Bible, looked as big as a Sears Roebuck catalog. Now, what am I saying? God keeps the best until life in the Christian experience. From in and closing night.
This is Brother Johnny. I know that you enjoy that. My friend that's listening to this tape, are you saved? Are you born again?